With dire warnings from economists about an imploding economy and threats by ratings agencies Moody's and Standard & Poor's to downgrade Washington's sterling credit rating, the White House and Congress have not yet negotiated a deal to raise the federal government's $14.3 trillion debt ceiling. With less than 2 weeks left before the August 2nd deadline, President Obama expressed hope that an agreement would be reached to raise the debt ceiling in time. While earlier negotiations to reach a so-called grand bargain to cut $4 trillion from the nation's debt failed, the president lauded the Senate's bipartisan Gang of Six for coming up with a new 11th-hour framework to cut $3.7 trillion from the federal budget over 10 years. The plan reportedly includes a reduction in tax rates through tax code reform and an immediate $500 billion in budget cuts, coming in part by imposing changes to the Social Security System's cost of living adjustment formula, known as chained CPI. Progressive activists have been greatly concerned by President Obama's willingness to offer major cuts in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid during the current debt ceiling negotiations. The Progressive Change Campaign Committee recently delivered 200,000 petition signatures to Obama's Chicago campaign headquarters, pledging not to volunteer or donate to the president's campaign if he cuts Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security benefits. Between the lines, Scott Harris spoke with Eric Kingson, co-director of the Strengthened Social Security Campaign, a coalition of 300 national and state organizations. He explains why he opposes the so-called $4 trillion grand bargain and the damage he believes will be caused by slashing the nation's social safety net programs.
First of all, there is no grand bargain if everybody's Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid is being cut dramatically, which is what's been proposed in part here. Backing up, we have a deficit. It's a long-run deficit one day we have to get to. It is not the most important problem we face. There are many other problems we face. There are 14 million Americans who aren't working. There are two wars that haven't been paid for that are still going. There are huge tax cuts that have brought us to this point, along with the deregulation that helped bring us this economy. And there was also the passage of the Medicare Part D pharmaceutical benefits, which wasn't funded either during the Bush years. So what we have is basically a revenue problem. We have not been responsible in paying for the kinds of policies that particularly took place in the early part of the first decade of the millennium. What we're dealing with is a coordinated effort by some to delegitimize Social Security and Medicare and to define these as core issues with the federal debt. Social Security never has and never will borrow a penny, because by law it cannot have borrowing authority. It doesn't borrow. If Social Security did not have enough resources coming into it, then benefits by law would be reduced. So Social Security has absolutely no place in the deficit discussion. It's important to understand that Social Security is adequately financed for 25 years. Under the best estimates, the Congressional Budget Office, the Social Security actuaries, various people who make it, say it can pay all benefits out 25 years. And then after that, after about 2035, it's about 23 cents short on the dollar. And that can be addressed in a variety of ways. So you could scrap the cap asking Americans to pay 6.2% on all their earnings. You could, for instance, to get a sense of the dimension of this problem, the projected shortfall in Social Security is the equivalent to roughly what it would cost to continue the Bush tax cuts for the richest 2% of Americans. This is not a difficult problem to address. It's a matter of political choice.
Eric Kingson, President Obama has put squarely on the table Medicare and Social Security and Medicaid as a bargaining chip. Obama says he'll cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid if the Republicans remove tax subsidies for private jet owners and big oil companies. What exactly do you feel is his motivation in terms of putting on the chopping block these very popular programs that are really a lifeline to some of the poorest, sickest, and most elderly people in the country who've put a lot of money into these programs in exchange for some minor concessions on the part of Republicans?
I don't know what his motivation is. I'm not going to try to guess that. What I do know is what the effect of doing this is. The cost of living adjustment and Social Security has been put on the table. The president had promised he would not cut benefits for current beneficiaries, but the current proposal that we hear has been on the table is to change the cost of living adjustment so that over time, everybody receives a smaller benefit. Someone who's 65 today, when they're 85, would get a cost of living adjustment that would be worth $1,000 less that year. So there's a decision made to pull some dollars out of pockets of hardworking people, people who've earned their benefits. And that contradicts the promises the president has made. It contradicts the promises of Democrats and Republicans, many Republicans, if we move forward with that. Also on the table, as part of the effort to show how balanced they are, we hear the idea of raising the Medicare retirement age to 67. Absolutely absurd. We should be talking about lowering the age of Medicare to cover older workers who are unable to maintain their employment in a very difficult economy, many of whom leave work because of health problems. We were going in the right direction with the Affordable Care Act, not perfect, but moving forward. This contradicts the act. It's horrible that this has been put forward as a negotiable item. I guess the motivation, I believe, is to show how reasonable we are, but frankly, with hostage takers, I don't think we should be exercising reason. It would be my hope that the president would go to the American public and say, look, here's what's at stake.
Eric, tell us what your group, Strengthen Social Security Campaign, a coalition of groups all over the country, what are they doing to ensure or to do their best to prevent the White House and Congress from axing Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid?
What we're doing right now is we're focusing very heavily on the cost of living adjustment proposals that have been put on the table. We're also trying to send a message and encourage our friends in the White House to pivot and move away from putting Social Security on the chopping block, and particularly sending messages to all members, particularly the Republicans, that if they push cuts in Social Security, their constituents aren't going to be happy, not even the Republican constituents. When we deal with Social Security, don't deal with it behind closed doors. It has to be dealt with in the open because it's such a trust for the American people, and it always has been. Let's not have a sneak attack on Social Security.
That was Eric Kingson, co-director of the Strengthen Social Security campaign. Learn more about the coalition's work to protect Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.